This is Halftime with the Playmakers, your midweek partner with the live show The Playmakers, aired on WANM FM 90.5 on Saturday from 12:30 to 2. We are talking everything football, basketball, and FAMU, of course. The Super Bowl was last night. We're talking the trade deadline. Introduce yourself, fellas.
What's going on, everybody? Slim Trim, a.k.a. Mr. J School, Michael Trim Jr.
Yo, it's your boy, JB the King. We back here with the Playmakers.
What's going on, y'all? It's the kid from the 615 Nashville, Cashville, Tennessee. It's Austin Kaysen, and I'm back on the pod today. Let's do it.
Yes, indeed. What's up, y'all? It's Flo, his finest, College Latiker, repping Crooked Letter Place, 601 Magnolia State.
Hey, guys, doing is Joshua Bounds, representing the 850, and happy Black History Month. What's
going on, y'all? It's your boy, Chris, representing for the 352 games for the Bestville in Florida, man.
You know, and I forgot to introduce myself. I can't believe I did that. I'm Wes from the 904. Duval in the building, baby. We always got to start off with FAMU. We're talking basketball.
Oh, boy.
We're going to start off with our men's basketball. You know, we've been up and down.
Oh, man. Oh, no. We've been down.
Hold on.
We were up at one point. Now we're down.
Stock down.
Well.
Stock is really down.
Elaborate on that, Chris.
Well, four losses in a row. You know, a couple tough losses that they took, especially with last game and Jackson State game. They went from being first in the SWAT. Now they're eighth. And they have a game tonight. So, if we lose this, they can kiss SWAT championship, SWAT semifinal goodbye.
Why?
Yeah, what's been going on?
Well, let's just get down. They haven't been hitting shots. Our center, you know, let's talk about Miles. Can't get a rebound, fouls, can't score anything.
At one point, we were leading the SWAT in rebounding.
We were, but then I don't know what happened. You know, he's just out there doing cardio now and just getting fouls. So
Miles can't hoop.
You know, what's funny is we actually did.
Listen, lock in, man.
What's funny is we actually did out-rebound Texas Southern, but it just didn't matter. I mean, they're, Texas Southern, Troy Hupstead, he had a third of TSU's points, and, you know, that's just one of those things that, like, that just can't happen. You know, you got to be able to at least stop something.
So we started off hot this season, and now we're on a losing streak. We went from we're going to win the SWAC tournament to, like, now we just want to make it. Like, we just want to get there. Like, what is the expectations now that we've had a little bit of issues, a little bit of a losing streak? Trim?
You know, they say success isn't linear. You know, you're going to have a stock up. You're going to have a stock down. You just can't stay down for too long. And I think tonight's test against Prairie View A&M is going to be a good one. Prairie View has two of the top 10 scorers in the nation, three of the top 15 scorers in the nation, and the third leading scorer overall in the nation in Terrion Joseph, averaging 20 points per game. So this is going to be a great defensive test for Coach Ward's program and his squad. But I feel like, yes, we maybe have been a little premature on the SWAC championship aspirations, me included. You know, I'm a big advocate of, you know, just enjoying the moment and savoring, you know, the good times. However, we've lost four straight. And in doing so, we have exposed a lot of our weaknesses as a team. We can't really play from behind. Closing games is kind of very inconsistent with this rendition of the FAMU men's basketball team. At least we're, you know, in position to close games. You know, last few years, we weren't in position to close games. We're just, you know, dog water. But, you know, this program, like I said, like we said up couple shows ago, everybody gets into this SWAC tournament. I think it's a 12-team bracket, and everybody doesn't get in.
I know
the top four teams get a bye.
Mm-mm. It's eight teams.
Yeah, but the top four teams get a bye. I remember talking about it, because yeah, the first four seeds get a bye, and so all we gotta do is get in the tournament, and after that, it's one game elimination. The best team will always come out in tournaments like that. So
all 12 teams in the conference will participate in the tournament.
So Valley,
I wasn't tripping.
With one win is really going to be there. That's going to be weird.
Yeah, but they'll be a first round exit.
Yeah, we know that. Trust
well,
me.
Well, we might be a first round exit.
Well,
right now.
Yeah, if we can't hit a shot from outside, then we might be on that trail too.
Nah, we won't. Coach Ward has been making history all season, and I think he'll continue to do so, especially winning a game, at least a game in the SWAC playoffs.
Valley has ended our season twice in football already, and I wouldn't put it past this to
that guy's out of basketball. Here. Thank God.
And Valley got the number two score in the SWAC.
Okay, so we've shifted. We're like, everybody gets into the SWAC tournament. We just got to get to the SWAC tournament, get a win, and then maybe make like a playoff push, make it,
nah,
you know, compete
dance.
For a We're going to the dance. Well, what do we think about Charlie Ward's first year? He started off hot. Now we're starting to get into a little deep waters, a little bit of trouble.
I mean,
is this improvement?
I think it's definitely improvement. Yeah. He's been a good coach.
I wouldn't even put all of the blame on Charlie Ward. At some point, Charlie it just goes down to players.
Right, I'm right there with you, Q. Yeah. He can't coach a make or a miss.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, like, and even in like two of the last four games that we've lost, it's come down to, you know, the final shot, and we've got great shots.
Yeah, great looks.
Like great looks at the rim. And like they're just misses. He can't coach that. Like, you know, sometimes shots fall, sometimes shots don't. I don't think shot making is on the coach. Like, I mean,
free throws, especially
this past game. We gotta hit some free throws.
Coach can't coach it. Like, so that's, to me, it's not on Charlie. And honestly, Wes, I don't even think that I can judge Charlie personally until I see a full offseason cycle as well, and then what he puts on the floor next year. Because I feel like that's so much of college basketball is how can you turn around a roster after offseason. Obviously, he's looked good throughout this season, and like I said, I mean, obviously we hit a really bad dry spell, but once again, that's basketball. Basketball is a game of runs. That's not just in a single game, but that's game to game as well. You're going to get hot. You're going to get cold. I'm not mad that we're slumping right now at the beginning of February. I'd much rather slump right now than at the beginning of March.
True, but to big back off what you're saying, though, like you said, Coach Ward, he's doing what is expected as a first-year head coach. There are some things that you cannot fix. When it comes down to being in a shooting slump, that is on the players, and just needs to be better shots taken. Like, I remember watching the game against Texas Southern. Literally, one of the commentators was talking about how back in the game at Alabama A&M, we went 15 minutes without getting a bucket. How do you go 15 minutes without scoring a bucket? That can't happen.
Okay, well, now we're going to shift gears over to the women's side of FAMU basketball. And while we've been talking more positively about the men, but they're on a losing streak. Girls are slowly putting together a couple games in a row.
All I know, like you said, congratulations to them. So definitely clap it up. And then the performance that they had was just beautiful all around. Everyone contributed scoring wise, and there was a lot of rebounding going on in that game. Like, of course, Pierre being the point guard, not expecting you to get a lot of rebounds, but you had 8 rebounds, you had 6 rebounds, you had 8 rebounds, again, you had 9 rebounds. This team was just flying around. They were crashing the boards. This is what we needed to see throughout the whole season. This can't just be one game of high intensity. This needs to be the standard moving forward for the ladies.
Yeah, I'm right there with Josh. Yeah. Last time against Texas Southern, we had five girls scoring double figures, and another one had 9 points. So, I mean, just seeing that we have the ability to have a bunch of different ladies on the court who are able to beat, you know, the other team. Obviously, now Ellington's back. Ellington's been back for a couple games now. I feel like having 2 lead guards who are able to control the pace of a game late is going to mean a lot to this team come tournament time. Ellington's not the most efficient, only shoots 27% from the field. But, you know, hopefully she can trend upwards in that category. Obviously, Purifoy, as Josh mentioned, great small guard, but very crafty, creates her own shot, distributes. Team looks solid, honestly. I hate to sound like a broken record, but to me, if our forwards can stay out of foul trouble and we can just really make shots, I don't think, besides, who is it at the top, Alabama A&M and maybe Alcorn, Southern, I'm not worried about anybody else.
The girls team, I'm going to give a shout out to Coach Gordon. I like how she's been going into, you know, her bench and showing like the depth of this team with Maya, you know, getting rebounds and scoring, or Shania having a big game like she had last game, or Razia Robinson. Like, I like how she's been going into her depth of the bench and not just running with like the same 5 starter that she's been rolling with.
Yeah, and also to add on, the being able to get to the line too. I see that in the fourth quarter, the women, they took 20 free throws in the fourth quarter and made 17 of them. That's impressive. But just being able to get to the line, because again, in the past we've seen only Purifoy was really able to get to, she was the only one able to get to the line, and so we lived and died by her, not only her scoring but her free throws. But to see the whole team be able to get to the line and still make their free throws as well, I think that definitely played a huge part, especially with the team only making one three-pointer. You know, you got to find the points and other means.
You know, we talk about this every pod, but, like, Pierre-Foy, you know, is one of the more volatile players on the team because sometimes, you know, we talk about it a lot. You know,
baby
she
Russ.
She has a lot of turnovers sometimes.
Baby Russ.
Sometimes she'll give you a good 10, 11 turnovers.
Baby Russ is crazy.
And that's a compliment.
And in this little stretch of wins we got going on, she's been lowering her turnovers numbers. She's been that field goal percentage has been going up higher. She hit a couple threes, like, and only three turnovers against Texas Southern. So, like, that's exactly what we need to see.
Yeah.
See improving upon, you know, the main focus is, like, the biggest issue was the turnovers, and she's got that down. And then that turned into wins, so that's exactly what we needed to see. But let's shift our focus outside of FAMU into the biggest game of the season, the Super Bowl.
Boo, boo, boo!
It just happened.
Just let him start.
It just happened to go almost exactly how I predicted. I predicted a 34-14 game, and then finished 29-13. It can't get much closer than that. Your boy knows ball. What do we think, fellas?
You know, pretty much off season, I said the Seattle Seahawks had the best team.
I don't know if it was all season.
Arguably one of, if not one of the five best quarterbacks in the entire world.
Stop the cap.
Y'all know Kurt Ben Kurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dropped the tweet. Appreciate you, JB, for career my analysis right
of course,
here.
Bro.
he's a phenomenal football mind, though. Excellent Madden player. But he said Sam Darnold played exactly how Tom Brady did in a handful of his Super Bowls. Took care of the ball, let the defense handle business, and made key throws when needed.
This is what we've been dealing with for the past however many weeks. Pretty much this entire semester.
He took Trim's take, bro. He posted it on Twitter last night.
Sam Darnold in this game had 202 yards. 202 key yards. Without him, they probably lose the Super Bowl.
Wow.
What?
Well,
wow.
One what? Touchdown.
Wow. What?
One touchdown.
I mean,
that's exactly why you play Madden and you're not in NFL no more.
One touchdown and no interceptions.
Mike, did you just sit here and say that?
During
Sam Darnold. No, wait.
You haven't been on the pod. You don't know this. Nah. He's been doing this every week.
But I have to stop him.
No, you do not.
50% completion rating, too. So we're just not going to ignore that.
Sam Darnold's Super Bowl run. He had 5 touchdowns, no turnovers, in a playoffs that didn't include Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, the two best quarterbacks in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Went up against Sam Darnold, hung 300 yards on him and 4 touchdowns. The MVP.
This is nasty.
What are we talking about?
He succeeded in areas that Josh Allen couldn't.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Any Josh Allen slander, bro, I'm here for.
Wait.
Quarterbacks, what they say.
Can we stop making, like, why do we keep making this about Josh Allen? Like,
because
this is weird.
Josh Allen hasn't been able to do it.
But that's cool, but that's weird.
Sam Darnold isn't your. How's that weird? They say he's the most talented quarterback ever.
Mike, we just had a Super Bowl.
You're aware Kenneth Walker won MVP.
You
want to
make everything about Josh Allen.
That was false.
No, you thought. Sam Darnold should have been Kenneth Walker.
No, he did not. No. What are you talking about?
And if not, Sam Darnold should have been Devon Witherspoon.
I'm not mad at that.
For you to say that Sam Darnold should have won MVP, I should realistically, like,
I mean that.
We should cut your mic for the rest of the episode.
And I mean that.
Look, I think 50%
Kenneth Walker had a great game, bro.
Kenneth Walker won them that game.
Yeah, but it was a couple guys who I could really take over.
So it was either Kenny or Witherspoon that deserved it.
So you know what that says? Football is a team sport. And look, I'm wearing a USC shirt. This is not for no reason. Sam Darnold did go to USC, but also Uchenna Nwosu went to USC. Leonard Williams went to USC. This is the first
USC quarterback to win a Super Bowl, by the way.
That is true, but
that's crazy.
Again, there were other contributors.
History.
There were other contributors
he's
on
great.
The team.
Correct.
He's great.
So the actual game, The game was good. It was kind of boring. I'm not going to lie.
I enjoyed it.
I liked the game. The third quarter was rough.
I'm going to be honest. Third quarter was real rough. But the first half was good. Drake May had 295 passes. That was a nasty stat pack.
He had 86 yards going into the fourth.
Sam Darnold completed 71% of his passes.
Drake May
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
Adjusted passing completion percentage in the entire playoffs.
Man, bro, this is so bad, bro. Hey,
let's talk about what I really want to talk about.
102 passer rating.
Let's talk about
the schedule. Can we talk about Will Campbell?
Talk about
the Drake fraud Drake May
the schedule.
No, 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 no. Hey, can we talk about Will Campbell before?
No, we can't.
That man can't block a cold, bro. Like, it's just that simple.
Listen, we got a full booth today. We got 8 people in the booth. So it's a little, we're talking a lot over each other. You know, we're getting riled up, but.
Yeah, you can't count either.
Listen, man. Listen, man. We really could have let that slide. There was no reason to correct me.
Hey, but you know
there
what?
Was no
go ahead,
reason.
Josh. Go ahead.
Since we talking about Drake May, let's just be honest. This is exactly what we saw happening. We said on the podcast last time, we said that Mike Vrabel was the reason why the Patriots got here.
We did.
And it showed. But this is a testament more so to how good of a coach Mike Vrabel is.
Mike Vrabel was coaching yesterday too. What?
I said this shows to how good of a coach
I'm not
he
gonna
is.
Let, and the game was closer than it should have been.
It was.
Yeah.
Because the defense kept him in the game. But Drake May, he did exactly what we said that he was going to do. The pressure got to him, and because of it, he lobbed up some bad passes. One of them connected, the other one was picked off. He was getting harassed on all night long. Like, Drake May showed his true colors. And this is why I'm so happy that they were smart and did not give his man the MVP.
Josh,
if he had won the MVP, I would have been ticked off.
Josh, I agree with you, but also, we've already seen his true colors. He fumbled 4 times in a game.
He
fumbled.
He threw a pick and fumbled twice.
We knew this.
I think this Super Bowl performance, at least, it confirmed everything we said about Drake. Because the comeback that people would use was like, well, he made a Super Bowl. That's... It's almost like in spite of Drake May.
Right. We'll never see a schedule warrior like Drake May again.
Schedule
because there is no way.
Wait.
I'm not done.
Because that take was like, that was a horror take.
What?
He made the Super Bowl. We have seen top quarterbacks in the NFL never
Stop
touch
it.
A Super Bowl.
Trim, I thought you didn't like losers.
I don't like losers.
He was the best loser. So stop it.
He was the best loser.
No, I don't want to hear that from
That's
you.
Why
I don't want to hear
Drake
that from
made.
You.
He made
you
the
don't
Super
even
Bowl.
Have a team. I don't want to hear
he
that from
made
you.
This, bro, we're making analytical takes,
finish.
Are we not?
Let me finish.
All right.
He had the easiest schedule historically.
Bro, that's bad, in decades.
I don't know what team it was that had an easier schedule, but it wasn't in the 2000s.
Bro,
It's fine that he capitalized. But then he made the playoffs and had the easiest road in the playoffs we've ever seen.
Are you kidding me?
All right. Justin Herbert spent the whole wild card run on his back. He didn't even have to do anything.
Wait. So he scored 3 points. Easiest run?
Yes.
Okay. Let's go back to the 2022 Eagles who played Daniel Jones and the trash Giants and then played basically Christian McCaffrey at quarterback.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that.
Okay, but
and then they
Drake
had the CJ Stroud throw 4 picks. Drake May didn't have to do anything to win that game.
I have one question for the whole, you know, the everybody.
What's that?
Before the playoffs started, who would have said who's the best quarterback in the playoffs?
Matthew Stafford and Josh Allen, right? Yeah,
Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen.
Did any of them play in the Super Bowl?
No. What is your point?
Okay, look, I just want to say this.
I'm going to go back to these Patriots games. Y'all got to take them. Y'all got to take what's coming y'all way. Because I will not let y'all discredit what this Super Bowl was and who made the Super Bowl.
Let me say this. Did Drake May play Josh Allen?
We're not discrediting the
Patriots. You said Matthew Stafford was one of the best quarterbacks.
Answer my question. Did Drake May play Josh Allen?
Did Josh Allen play Drake May?
Answer the question.
Did Josh Allen play Drake May? No, and he still lost.
True. The Patriots allowed 26. The Patriots defense allowed 26 points the entire before they made the Super Bowl. 26 points in the entire playoffs.
Josh Allen scored.
The Bills scored 30 points in one game.
What is the point?
What
are
you
talking
about?
How many turnovers did Sam Darnold have in the playoffs?
No, why do y'all let him do this?
And what? For 3-4 games? 3 games? Sam Darnold has 0 turnovers.
We're not talking about Sam Darnold.
No. Hey, no. let's look at something since he said Sam Darnold.
We're not talking about Sam Darnold.
There is two games that Sam Darnold literally didn't have to do anything in those two games.
Sam Darnold is now in the conversation as a top five quarterback.
No, he's not.
He's not top five.
Yes, he is.
He's 10. He's like 9 or 10.
He lapped pretty much everybody.
He's 9 or 10.
Okay, let's talk about Sam Darnold then.
Let's talk about
that 49ers game, right?
Didn't have to do a single thing.
He didn't. The 49ers had 6 points. Rashid Shaheed took.
Rashid Shaheed had more points than the Niners did.
Exactly. I told you. He's an elite game manager.
Rashid Shaheed and Jason.
And maybe that's what Josh Allen is doing. Stop.
Rashid Shaheed and Jason Myers had more points than the entire 49ers. Okay. Sam Darnold had to do, all he had to do was kneel the ball.
And
all they had to do was kneel the ball, and they win the game.
And Josh Allen had 4 turnovers in a playoff game.
And guess what? Josh still put up 30 points, and his team led up 33.
How do we shift the conversation to Sam Darnold? How do we shift the conversation to Sam Darnold?
He's the best loser in history.
Because he's been saying Sam Darnold's top 5 for weeks.
We can talk about Sam Darnold, Drake May, all we want. At the end of the day, football is a team sport, and these teams have good defenses that allow their mid quarterback. Let me not say mid. They're decent. Let their decent quarterback. We're not talking about Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes is in GOAT. Is in
now
GOAT combos.
No, this the, these are combos. All right.
Those are the conversations that Mike,
Mahomes is in GOAT combos.
Mike.
No, y'all got it. I'm telling you. I'm going to say it again. Y'all got to just take it, bro. Y'all got to take what's coming your way.
Mike, this would never happen if Jess was hosting, bro. What the? What? You would never talk. Oh, like, what?
Like, bro. Like, why?
JB, give me your take on the Super Bowl. We're going around. Everyone's getting their take. Mike just had way too long of a take.
Cut his mic.
Because I was right. Cut his mic.
JB, let me hear your take.
I think somebody over there in the other booth said it. Defenses. Both of these teams made it to this position because of their defense, right? Both of these teams had a pretty solid running game as well. I think we can credit the team. We can credit coaches. You can credit a team for making the Super Bowl without saying, okay, now they're top five all time, or now they're top five in the league because they did this, 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 this. Like, it's not that deep. Literally, they both just have really, really good teams. The Patriots' path was a little bit easy. I think for them, I'd be concerned because we all acknowledge that their schedule was very easy this year, and a lot of teams don't make it back to the Super Bowl. So in these moments, you have to capitalize, and I don't feel like anybody on the offense capitalized at all. But we know the Seahawks defense is elite. The Patriots kept them in the game, but they didn't have enough on the offensive side. Will Campbell get ready to learn offensive guard? You can never be a tackle again in this league after what I just saw. And yeah, that's really it.
Case, let me hear your take.
Yeah, it was a hard watch if you're not like a real deal like football knower, honestly. Like, Charlie Puth sang a very, very beautiful rendition of the national anthem.
Yeah, he killed it.
He did a good job.
Coco Jones sang "Lift Every Voice and Sing."
Yeah,
shout out Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, that was beautiful. Too,
why are we talking about
Donovan? Josh Mitchell is really winning that life with her.
Man, my goat.
What are we talking about?
But
y'all
to me,
are losing the plot.
Donovan Mitchell over Shay.
You cannot be talking about
losing
the plot.
Hey man, watch
your mouth. I've been talking about Sam Darnold.
Nah, if you know, you know.
Anyway, back to my take. it was an old school football game. I think Chris called it on the live show this weekend that it wasn't going to be close, and I don't feel like at any point in the game really it ever felt like the Patriots had any type of control in any facet of the football game. Yeah, I mean, say what you want. I mean, a lot of people are obviously going to say the Patriots rode an easy wave to the Super Bowl, but I just feel like they met their match perfectly with the Seahawks, who kind of wanted to get things done just like they do, but they just did everything that the Patriots wanted to do better. They ran the ball better. They sent disguised blitzes better. They caused chaos on defense a lot better than the New England did. Drake May, obviously, probably, hey, Jared Allen, the lights were brighter than expected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, get well soon.
Q?
Again, I've already said it a couple times, but football is the ultimate team sport, and I think this game showed it the most, especially on the Seahawks side. We saw everybody make good plays, and even I will give credit to Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold made good plays. He stepped up in the pocket. He made some good throws when he needed to. The defense, everybody on that defense made good plays. Devon Witherspoon, Uchenna Nwosu, their whole defensive line made plays, and even guys on the offense like AJ Barner, Kenneth Walker, you know, Super Bowl MVP. The entire Seahawks team showed up. And then for the Patriots side, I mean, again, successful hate watch for me. But, you know, to be serious, Drake May, it was not a good performance for him. Again, only 86 yards going into, or however many yards he had, 80 yards going into the fourth quarter. And then two interceptions in the fourth quarter trying to get your team back into the game. That's just, you just can't have that in the Super Bowl. You're not going to win putting up stats like that. But for the Patriots, we'll see if they'll be back. AFC East will not be theirs next season, though.
Joshua Bounce.
You ain't sound too confident saying that.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, all right. So, just like we said earlier, this was a great win for the Seattle Seahawks. Patriots have to go back to the drawing board. Now, I will say, Drake May, this is not the end. It all depends on what he does from here. Because he's been to the Super Bowl now. The question is, does he improve his play? Does he stay the same? Or does his play diminish? We'll just have to watch and see what happens next season. But great job to the Seattle Seahawks. Shout out to their defense. Them boys were flying around. Reminded me of Legion of Boom a little bit. Not exactly Legion of Boom, but the way they were flying around and getting tackles. Shout out to that boy Witherspoon for all those blitzes that he came up with. And just a great overall win for the Seattle Seahawks.
What's their defense called? What do they call their new defense? The Dark Side.
I don't like it, but it's fine. Chris, go ahead.
I took away exactly how I, predicted it. I thought it was going to be 38-14, 29-13. I'll take it. But the Seahawks defense did exactly what they, came to do. Stomped on their necks, showed them. You're not going to run the ball. You're not going to throw the ball. You're just going to be punting the whole night. For the Patriots, yeah, kind of like what JB said. Yeah, Will Campbell, you, buddy, you got to get better. I've never seen a guy just get thrown back so many times just off of a bull rush. That was terrible. But also for the Patriots, one shining star I'll give him. Chris Gonzalez is gonna make a lot of money. That's all I know for sure.
Indeed. Nah, that boy nasty.
He's gonna make a lot of money. So I would focus on re-signing him. Also, improve the O-line with the draft and probably get yourself maybe one more weapon to help Drake May out a little bit. Probably another receiver, probably.
Yeah, because Diggs is going to be locked up. So
On the bright side for New England,
oh my God.
The Patriots do have money going into the offseason, so it's not like they're one of these teams. Like, Drake May's still on his rookie contract. The Patriots have money to take advantage of this and improve their team, but they have to do it now because If Drake continues, his trajectory of being a good quarterback, he's going to get paid. Yep. And then he's going to get paid. Christian Gonzalez is going to get paid. Everybody else is going to have to go off of that. So, they better take advantage of these next two to three years. And if they don't, then it's going to get real spooky for them.
Well, to wrap things up, I'm going to give you my final take on the Super Bowl. I think that Mike McDonald, please come back to the Ravens. We miss you. Just coached a phenomenal game. I think when you get a 10-yard run for a first down, the very first play of the game, it's hard to stop a person that's already in rhythm. And, being able to run the ball made great play action attempts for Sam Darnold, make it a very easy read for him. And that took them down the field many times in the first quarter. Didn't punch him in, didn't get those touchdowns. They got a lot of field goals, but, you'll take points. I think Kenneth Walker had an absolutely amazing game. I think the Patriots are 2 years away from being back into a deep playoff run. I think next year.
2 years away from being 2 years away?
2 years? No, I think they're 2 years away because next year they're going to get a good schedule because the NFL likes to schedule rematches, mm-hmm. and the NFL likes to give playoff teams tough schedules.
Yeah.
They got that top five pick scheduled
first place schedule, yeah.
But now they got to go and they always have to play the Bills. The Bills are never easy, so they got to play them twice. And now they're going to get rematches. Now they're going to get the Broncos. They're definitely going to get the Broncos.
Here's the thing, though. I think they kind of lucked out a little bit because and as far as North and South matchups, they don't get Baltimore or Houston. They get Pittsburgh and Jacksonville.
I got their schedule pulled up right now if y'all want to go.
It came out already?
Yeah, it's not the dates, but they have the teams.
Oh,
already.
Let's hear them.
They play the Bills, of course.
Oh, my goodness.
And you got the,
I think they split you got, with them.
Oh, my gosh.
You got the Bears, Lions, Chiefs, Bruh. Chargers.
Those are all away games, by the way.
Dolphins.
All those are away.
Oh, they smoked the Dolphins. We ain't worried
about
that.
Broncos, Raiders, Packers, Vikings, Jaguars, Seattle, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, so now they're in the big boy bracket. They're going to play some real comp, and I think that'll diminish their ability to make the playoffs. But I think they're 2 years away because, they have to. I don't think Will Campbell is as bad as everyone thinks. He had an MCL injury earlier in the year, and I think he lost a lot of power, and I think he lost a lot of footing. And knee injuries can be very detrimental to his footwork, and he already has short arms and all that good stuff. So I don't know. I think he'll be back and better next season. Does he need to be a guard? Maybe. But, like, I don't think you'll see him get bullied as much next season once he's fully healthy.
I hope so.
But we're wrapping up football for the year. It's so very sad. I'm very disappointed. But we will be rebuilding teams, having a rebuilding team segment till the NFL draft.
Yeah. 17 will not write back next season.
Yeah, so we'll be doing the first few picks for each team. And we'll do three teams a week until the NFL draft that will be starting next week. But now we're going to talk about the NBA. We'll be talking about that more and more now that the NFL is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the trade deadline just passed this last week.
Right before you say NBA, we don't have to talk about it. But very important matchup tonight, Arizona versus Kansas in Allen Fieldhouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. College
streak
basketball
ends.
Is heating up.
Streak ends tonight.
Yeah. Arizona's undefeated. They haven't lost yet. But also Kansas hasn't lost a ranked Big Monday matchup. At home.
I'm locked in, bro. I'm locked in to college basketball now.
I'm be ready.
Yeah, I need to start watching more. Q needs to add to the rundown so I don't have to. No, but we're going to talk the trade deadline because it passed this last week. I believe it was Wednesday. So we're going to be grading trades. There was a few really big ones, and there's a few that are like building block pieces. But we're going to go with the biggest one, AD to the Wizards. Give it a grade. That's what do we think?
Okay.
You don't think that's the biggest?
James Harden?
I think it's
AD not even playing this year.
AD?
But I mean, still.
No, it actually came out that they're trying to gear him up to play. But I don't know if he will.
He's not going
to
play.
I don't know if he wants to.
He already said he doesn't want to be watched.
But, like, you kind of have to, like, obligated and stuff. It becomes an issue if you actually sit out.
Yeah. Now, Wes.
I was going to say, NBA players have a lot of power.
I was with and Anthony Davis.
That's true.
That's a guy who's not going to feel obligated to get his
ankle hurts. I can't suit up. Yeah, I got you. But, like.
Out of trade, though. I like the trade.
It's a big deal because Lakers got Luka. Like, you traded away your future for AD, and now he's gone in one season. Like, let's give it a grade, JB.
From the Wizards side, I'm a fan of it.
Wow. Not what I was expecting.
I'm a fan just because I think when you're a team like Washington who doesn't get anybody in free agency, you should be a big market in retrospect, but you're not. Everybody was talking about KD might come to the Wizards for years. That never happened. I think you have to capitalize on these trades and buying low on talented players. The Wizards aren't going to bring in a Trae Young, an Anthony Davis level type of player because they just don't have that market. And, you know, they're hit or miss with their drafting. But ever since they got their new GM, I've been a big, big fan of everything they're doing. I think they have a lot of core young players like Keyshawn George, like Alex Sarr, and then you put Alex Sarr right next to Anthony Davis. In retrospect, I think that should only make them better. I don't think they gave up enough for me to be like, okay, they're mortgaging their future to win now. I just think why not speed up the process a little bit?
Well, that makes sense, but then you have to think, it was pretty much a contract dump for Dallas because isn't AD's deal up? Like,
no, AD's deal, he's still under contract next year and then, next season, which is 26 and 27.
Okay.
Cool. And they give up an expiring Chris Middleton contract where he's getting $30 million a year now.
Yeah, that's what it was. Chris Middleton's deal.
Yeah, his contract's about to be up. So he probably won't be with he probably wasn't going to be with the Wizards next year anyway. So you give up his big contract and you acquire at least Anthony Davis for one season.
Mm-hmm.
You put Anthony Davis around in the same room as a guy like Alex Sarr, who should be able to hopefully be a sponge and learn a lot from Anthony Davis. Let's say AD is only there for a year, but really, even to me, you put a guy like Trae Young with two bigs like Alex Sarr and Anthony Davis for a season.
Yeah.
And you got to look at things like the Clippers were with Lob City. You got a really good pick and roll guard. And I even like Trae Young's scoring ability, maybe even more than Chris Paul's at the times, just because of how like his range and his ability to shoot. You got two really good pick and roll options. Obviously, Anthony Davis is a bona fide like option one for almost any team. Like, I mean, I like it. Anytime you add a player like Anthony Davis, yeah, obviously he's had his injury histories over the days, but dude, this is still Anthony Davis at the end of the day, and you got him for basically Chris Middleton and what else? It was
they gave up two firsts.
Those weren't their own picks.
Yeah,
they weren't. They weren't picks. Wizards picks either.
So,
yeah,
because mind you, the Wizards,
I think one of them was a Thunder pick.
Yeah,
might have been.
Which, I think was it an OKC pick and a Houston pick?
I think I do remember one of them being a Thunder pick, and it's like that's basically an early second round pick.
Yeah, And the Wizards, mind you, are still 14-38. They're horrible this season. So Andy Davis might come back, but with him and Trae Young not playing much for the rest of the season, they're still going to be trash, and they're still probably going to get a top five pick. So if they can come up with this draft class is looking ridiculous. Even if they don't get one of the big three, they can still walk away with Caleb Wilson. They can walk away with Kingston Flemings.
Keaton Wagley.
Yeah, exactly. So those are all franchise cornerstones, franchise changers for their franchise.
Okay, well, Josh, what do you think?
But yeah, honestly, I agree with what a lot of us have said. I think that this is really a good pick for trade for the Washington Wizards. Mainly because, again, like we said, Anthony Davis will be teaming up with Alex Saar and will be teaming up with Trae Young. Reason why I say Alex Saar is going to be a great team up, again, when you think back to the Lakers championship in the bubble, right? We had two dominant bigs in the paint. And with having AD with a young Alex Saar, I think AD is going to really help him blossom into the young potential that he has. So you have two bigs who can rebound the ball pretty well. Alex Saar, who can pop out to the three-point line and shoot, I think it's going to make the Wizards dynamic. Now, I won't say that it's going to have a huge effect immediately, but I do think it will be an interesting thing to watch develop over the years.
Well, you might not have years, but I see what you're saying.
Wait, hold on. Who was the second big on that Lakers team? Dominant big.
To his point though, they didn't have two dominant bigs, but like Anthony Davis was your one.
Dominant bigs just get thrown around a little bit.
They had Dwight Howard. Who else?
The issue, the real thing is, AD likes to play the four.
Yeah,
correct.
And so when you have another big that you can have down there at the five and let AD roam around at the four, he's having a better time. He's scoring a little bit more. He's blocking because he's roaming around instead of sitting there in the paint, you know. So he operates well as a four, and I think he enjoys having a person that can play the five.
Yeah, JaVale McGee still played quality minutes on
wondering who the dominant big was, and I just...
That's going to be...
Bro, it was Boogie with no quad.
Dwight Howard and JaVale McGee, they count as a big together.
As a dominant big.
Yeah, together.
As a dominant big, right?
Yeah.
Wes, you sounded a little hesitant, bro, about the Wizards trade. You didn't like it as much?
I think they're building something. I don't know if AD was the right guy to get. He's expensive. He's injury prone. He doesn't want to play for you. So he's probably not going to play this season, even though reports have come out that he can get healthy and play. But
he's out for the year.
There's no reason for him to play this
season. He's out for the year.
Yeah, he's done.
No, I don't think he's going to play, but I've seen he might, or we're trying to get him, and I don't know. But he's injury prone. He doesn't want to play for you. Trae isn't playing this season. Like,
they're going to tank and get a young...
I hope it meshes for them next season, but I don't know if it will. This could be the start of a big rebrand and rebuild in Washington, or it can end up like the Nets, where you have a bunch of talented players, but none of them are on the floor at the same time. Yeah. AD's having a great 50-point game and Trae is not playing, or you get Darren Peterson and he's playing, but AD isn't.
Goodness, I didn't even think about
it. It's kind of like what we're seeing with the Sixers kind of right now.
Yeah, so
Darren Peterson and AD on the same team. That's 25 games a season.
That's bad.
There has been teams where they've struggled to deal with the future and the now. Like with the Warriors, when they drafted Kuminga and Wiseman and they still had Curry and all the people, they weren't able to do it. But I don't feel like the reward is higher than the risk, because they didn't give up nothing for either of those players.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought up Kuminga, because we're talking the trade where Kuminga got sent to the Hawks and KP's coming to the Warriors. He hasn't debuted yet. He's still on injury reserve or whatever. But how do we think of that trade?
I think for the Warriors, I get this a C, because I like the idea with Porzingis. You know, it finally gives you that big that you've been looking for the past couple of years to be, you know, competent and shoot. It's just, can he really stay healthy enough for you to be able to be that playoff push like he was for Boston? But also, I give it a B-. This is more on like Kuminga sense. You finally get the leash off you. You finally go get the, you know, hoop and basically do your thing. I think for the Hawks, he can be a, you know, good six man, you know, scoring off the bench a little bit. So, I'll go B- for the Hawks.
Yeah, I think Chris said it perfectly. It's I mean, I don't think it was a home run trade for either team, but I think it just kind of makes sense because with Trae Young gone, there wasn't really any purpose of keeping Porzingis, and the fact that you were able to get a quality player like Jonathan Kuminga, again, maybe he needed a change of scene, or he definitely needed a change of scenery. I think that his time in Golden State was just over with. And yeah, I mean, he's there with players in Atlanta that I mean, he can play with. Like, him and Jalen Johnson, I feel like they can be part of a core in the future. And as far as the Warriors, I mean, it sucks that they don't have Jimmy Butler this season. I think that would have been an interesting big three with Steph, Jimmy, and Porzingis. But I think at least for the next 2 years going forward, the Warriors have them a solid core.
Yeah. I think the Kuminga trade, like, I would grade it like a C. Yeah, like a C.
C for who?
For both?
No, C for the Hawks. Really? I would give the trade a B minus for the Warriors. Because obviously, it's really contingent on health for KP. And I feel like he'll make a bigger impact in Golden State than Kuminga will in Atlanta. Like, I don't think this is Kuminga's. This is going to be the team that, you know, turns him into a most improved player candidate or things of that nature. I think because the Atlanta Hawks, for this to be a success for the Hawks, they have to prioritize his development. And I don't think they're going to prioritize his development because he's not starting over Jalen Johnson, over Onyeka, over Nikhil.
Or Dyson Daniels.
The person he may start over is Zachary Richechet. But Zachary Richechet was drafted with the first overall draft pick. Yeah. So they'll probably still prioritize his development a little more than, you know, a guy they traded for.
Right, but like 20 minutes a night off the bench can do him good.
Kuminga
needs to be okay with being a six man.
Yeah.
I think he's fine because he wasn't getting any play time on the Warriors. I think 20 minutes off the bench would be great for him.
They drafted Asa Newell. They're probably going to get another top pick this year. So it's like,
oh yeah, they do have the Pelicans.
Kuminga is not going to be in a situation where he can really thrive. He needs to go to a team like maybe the Sacramento Kings, the Brooklyn Nets, that can just give the ball.
I wanted Kuminga so bad. I think the Warriors were probably gatekeeping.
This is like even going back to last summer.
There were like five different trades set up to get Kuminga to the Kings, and they just never happened.
He only had two suitors. Mm-hmm. It was the Sacramento Kings and the Phoenix Suns, and the Warriors just didn't want to keep him out west, I believe.
I think this Hawks team just has too many get to the basket guys.
That's what I was just gonna say.
Doesn't fit.
Yeah, but the fit is terrible.
I think the addition of Buddy Hield is good though. I think that's honestly where that.
Oh, they got
that's
Buddy Hield.
Yeah, Buddy Hield was part of that trade. I think that's where the Hawks won the trade for me because, like y'all said, you got Dyson Daniels. Like, realistically, when I look at the team who's been taking the court for the Hawks the last couple games, the best three-point shooter out there has been Onyeka Okongwu, which, yes, he's improved vastly as a three-point shooter since he's gotten in the league. But other than him, I mean, it's looking like Richechet, his ceiling might just be a 3-and-D type of guy. So you add a scorer who can also spot up in Buddy Hield. I think that's where they win that. Like JB did just say, adding Kuminga to a team of guys who's already, you know, slash heavy, drive first heavy, it's kind of confusing to me because, to me, Kuminga's the best when you play him as like a small four.
I'm not gonna lie, him and CJ off the bench, they could.
CJ not passing the rock.
I'm right there with you because, like I said, I think Kuminga would be best played in the NBA as a small ball four who can be a pick and roller, an athletic guy, catch lobs. Pop, all that type of stuff, but I don't think like trying to play him as like a 2-3 kind of wing is ever gonna work just because I don't think he's that good of a shooter for that.
I personally think like I was saying earlier, like I just think he needs some burn off the bench to like really maybe just showcase his skills and like maybe he can go somewhere else.
And
I don't, it's crowded in that locker room, especially for like what he does. Like you guys were saying, like he does the same thing as everyone else. But if I think he could have a little stint in Atlanta and, you know, improve and then maybe go somewhere else and you know, develop as a player. As far as KP goes, I really like it for the Warriors. He was averaging 17 a game before he got injured this season. And
Hey, Kristaps don't play basketball, bro.
I think that's the only problem with just, it. It's like,
he's always injured, but
he got some health condition going, bro.
As long as if he can get on the court, it takes pressure off of Curry. I don't have to look at Draymond as much. Like if he's on the court, I feel better. Yeah, I think it's okay as long as he, you know, gets on the floor. And then it's not like the Warriors are losing much. They didn't play Kuminga. Yeah. They didn't. I mean, Buddy Hield was okay for them. But he was really streaky. Like, sometimes Buddy Hield would have a great game, and sometimes he would shoot terribly.
That's been Buddy Hield his entire career.
But I know JB wants to talk about it. James Harden is now a Cleveland Cavalier.
Yes, indeed. I had a lot of mixed emotions about it hearing before it happened, but especially after seeing the game, I believe, two nights ago. I'm a big fan of it. He's going to make... One thing about James Harden, he's going to get his big man paid, bro. And Jared Allen went out there, looked like a monster, feeding off the pick and rolls. Unfortunately, we don't have Evan Mobley right now, but I think we can be in contention for, like, best backcourt in the league. You know what I mean? And I don't think that their skill sets really overlap each other that much. I've heard people say it, but James Harden is a point guard. That man can average 11, 12 assists if he really wanted to. Like, and I feel like he just helps our team. We need experience. We need people who are at least going to be on the court. And I love Darius Garland. I'm so sad we had to tear down the core four poster in Cleveland yesterday. But I just think this move makes us better. And in the Eastern Conference, where the Pacers next year look like they're going to be ridiculous, we have Jason Tatum coming back soon. Like, you have to take your shot in the Eastern Conference now. I feel like this is – we have to take that shot and win. Like, it's a pretty much – to me, it's Eastern Conference Finals are like – the team explodes this offseason. We need this win bad. So I'm very excited about it. I think he's going to help our team. We play the Nuggets today. I'm very excited to see how that looks.
Now, this is a very interesting take, because when this happened, JB was not happy in the group chat.
JB was
very upset. He's like, why did you get rid of Darius Garland?
That's just my guy. I mean, I've seen him. He was the worst player in the league his rookie year, and he's gotten better and better and better. He made All-Star last year. He made All-Star again 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It's just like, I've seen a development, and James Harden is 40 years old, so that...
He's 36, bro.
He's 36.
He's a decade older than
Darius Garland. People are performing better later into their years,
but he's
man.
He's a decade
Modern
older
medicine,
than...
my boy.
And his...
He's a decade older than Darius Garland.
And his play style age as well.
He's been playing better than him.
His play style age as well.
I just said that I agree, but it's just the fact that he's 10 years older, and we have a young team. And but now it seems like we're kind of like having to rush the process.
You're a win-now team.
Yeah. Like
now?
I said, I agree.
Yeah, now
yes.
You're a win-now
team.
I
agree.
No, I think they, before they were a win-now team.
But they won 60 games.
We haven't made it past the second round,
okay,
bro.
To me, win-now
means... That's
The Cavs were supposed to be like number one, number two this year.
Okay, but win-now to me means you have to win now. Like, if you don't win in the next two... Well, really, 2 to 3 years, you're never going to win. They weren't that before.
They have to do that because contracts are going to start kicking in. Evan Mobley has his contract kicking in this year. Donovan Mitchell makes Lord knows how much money he makes, and then you're gonna have to make a decision on whether you want to pay Darius Garland because he's injury prone. So they made the right decision.
We already paid Darius Garland,
right? I'm talking about another contract.
But what I'm saying,
Donovan Mitchell's contract is 2 years. He has two more years left, and he's not happy. I mean, if we don't make the conference finals, we weren't happy. So we couldn't risk Darius Garland not playing or being hurt or us missing
exactly,
you know, a player. So we had to make the move right now. I'm not mad at it. Just
JB, I'd like to spin something off real quick though. Because, yes, I am in agreement that I think the James Harden trade was good. However, I won't lie, I do have some concerns. Again, as we've seen from Harden in recent years, Harden keeps on going to teams and demanding trades from them because he wants to be on a contender. But the minute that nothing goes his way, then he quickly demands a trade.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that, but the problem is...
Wait, what?
There's nothing wrong with that. It's
called
player empowerment.
Hold on, Trent. Let me finish. The problem is, it looks like Harden wants to get his ring, but it also seems to be that he's the main problem with the teams that he goes
to.
No, he's
negative.
So
that's just not true.
He was the problem in Philly. Are we serious
that
right now?
That was three teams ago.
He wasn't the problem in LA. That's only before.
And he didn't request a trade out of LA.
Exactly.
He was the problem in Philly?
Yes, he was the problem in Philly.
Is it not that your superstar is made out of glass?
No, look. If we look at both of the playoff series he played in Philly against Boston,
Harden was the dropper.
He had
Harden was
points
the dropper.
They were sure
he dropped, but was Embiid playing?
Yes, Embiid played. And that Boston series,
I thought that was the Miami series he was carrying.
Miami series he played, and he looked like a shell of himself out there.
But look, like I was saying, though, the real question is,
Will Harden actually want to stick with Cleveland and ride it out, or will he just decide to hop?
Not at all.
He's just trying to get a ring. Yeah. If he
doesn't,
we
all are on the same page here. That way. He's not winning a ring.
Who's not winning a ring?
All right, so
Harden.
All right. So you think he just jumped from ship to ship just to get a ring?
That's what it feels like right now.
Okay, let's let's look at it. All right, Houston, it didn't work out mostly because of him. So we'll say
how was that him?
Mostly because of James Harden.
No,
in Houston,
do you please? Do you really want to look at them playoff games that he played bad in?
I'm not putting Houston. James Harden.
He was there for what? 8 years? You literally
death squad.
You didn't get it done.
The Warriors death squad. What are we talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
And no one was getting it done. Who was going to get it done?
Kevin Durant didn't even get it done. And that's your team.
They were a Chris Paul hamstring
against
away
the
from
Warriors. That's why Harden
he had a better team than we did. Don't even do that.
There's no way you're
dude. PJ Tucker, Ryan Anderson.
So let me give it straight. You're going to sit here and tell me James Harden wasn't the problem for none of them years in Houston?
No, he was averaging 35.
Like, what are we talking about?
Regular season, bro.
PJ Tucker, Ryan Anderson, who else was there? Daniel House.
The playoffs came right into the death lineup,
you remember
bro.
The game they missed 27 threes?
Wait. Oh my God.
You can't name a team in NBA history that's beaten that death lineup Warriors, bro.
I never seen
it. And Houston was the closest.
What was he supposed to do? Houston was supposed to give him 60?
Are we not going to sit here acting like he didn't play bad?
Houston was about to send him home in six.
You feel me?
He played bad in a whole bunch of them playoff games.
I think
he had a bad
you cannot
blame
game,
Houston on James
but he,
Harden.
But he won three games in that series.
Yeah. You can blame Sixers on Harden, and that is it.
That's it?
Maybe. Yes.
Sixers and the Nets, honestly.
No, not even the Nets.
Are you kidding me?
Not even the Nets. Well, yeah.
That was Kyrie.
Nets, I won't blame him for that. Okay. Sixers, yes.
That's fair.
Are we not going to blame Harden for against the Nuggets in Game 7 when he folded?
And with who?
Game 7 with the Clippers, where he folded against the Nuggets. Are we not going to blame him for that?
No.
That's the entire Clippers team.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
He's not even the number one guy on the Clippers team.
Oh, my God.
That's just Clipper basketball.
Yeah, bro.
Okay, bro.
Don't fall into the range.
Yeah, I'm looking at this.
Oh, my God.
I'm looking at these Nets or these Rockets rosters. Bro,
Trevor Ariza,
there was no reason for this man to be competing. Bro. Like, there were no reason for the Rockets to be competing.
The game plan for the Rockets was Chris Paul's running the pick and roll, and then James Harden score. That's it. Mm-hmm.
And it works.
And if they double, kick it to the guy in the corner because he could probably make it quarter three.
Yeah, Clint Capella.
But when they miss a bunch, you know, it's hard.
Next trade.
Oh, can y'all grade it? What would y'all put your grade on it?
A B and a B plus.
Wait, for who?
For the Cavs.
The Cavs get an A, and the Clippers get a B plus.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the Clippers. I like the Clippers return.
Clippers get younger. Cavs get a B.
I think the Clippers need to make another trade in the offseason. Let Kawhi walk.
Yeah, let Kawhi.
But that means they kind of got to go in a rebuild.
Yes. They do need a rebuild.
Yes.
Yeah, Clippers get a B. Clippers get a B.
I give both teams
I like the Clippers.
Cavs get a B plus.
I think Clippers get a B plus. Cavs get a B.
Because the Clippers are always a better team. Like, they have, like, I feel like they're more a well-run team when they have no egos. Like, when the what year was that? KD's first year, I believe.
I like the Clippers trade when they move their Zubac move more than I like this one.
I think overall I hate that move.
What's the trade?
So you don't like the Zubac move?
No, I don't. I really
for who?
Don't.
Why?
For the Clippers, I don't.
Why?
Go ahead.
I don't.
Elaborate. They sent him to the Pacers.
Because Zubac was playing at a dang near all-star level last year.
Correct.
Last year.
Exactly. So you get what you can for him. Zubac is not a guy.
Zubac is never
going to be a guy who's going to be able to win you
but
a series.
But you're still trading. All right. So
what's the point?
Who else do you have at that big man position?
You get two first Ben Mathurin and Isaiah Jackson. What?
I only care about the players. You got two first round picks.
Wait. Indiana sent their own pick.
Okay. So it's No. Hold on. It's protected.
Oh yeah, it is
1 through 4 and I think 9 through 32 or something like that. Whatever it is.
But even then, if it hits number 5, then that pick's gone. I still don't like that.
That's a risk, bro. But that's worth it.
I think
you're missing out on
1 through 4 and 10 through 30.
Yeah, 10 through 30.
I don't know, bro. I just feel like with Ben and Mathurin, the potential and like we obviously see the play is there. It's just again I need him to stay healthy.
Hey, that's a risk.
Bro, it's a rebuild.
I know it's a rebuild, but still,
they got the picks they wanted, mm-hmm. and they got rid of a guy that's gonna command a large amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. I understand.
Like it for, I like it for the Pacers because...
Pacers nasty.
Pacers man. Build it for next year. Pacers, like,
yeah,
Hallie's
they're
back.
Building for next year. With how you get
and
Hallie
if
back.
If they bring in a top four, Hallie,
I'm not gonna lie, you really don't, you really don't miss Turner
the
no more.
The Pacers are, the Pacers are
yeah,
playing.
Yeah, I think the Pacers are playing for next year.
And they get, like, Cam Boozer in the draft.
Because they're the worst team in the league right now. Oh, I think the Kings are.
Nah, the Kings stink.
But it's not by a lot, bro.
But the Pacers are playing with their money, though.
The Kings are on a 12-game losing streak.
Yeah, the Kings are the worst team in the league.
Shout out Q, man.
The Pacers are on four again. Yeah, it's bad.
Like, dog, 12 games?
All right, so...
And this is with our
what, DeMar
star.
And...
Yeah.
I would
with
hate
DeMar and Zach LaVine and all them people.
We didn't even get rid of them, and we're still this bad.
They got to have the worst, like, core
hey, thank
people
you for
and
Ellis,
the worst
though.
Future I've ever seen.
Don't get
seen.
Me started.
Yeah, Ellis.
I miss Keon Ellis.
So we agree that the Zubac trade is... It's
a,
okay.
A. It's an A.
It's an A?
I give this. No,
a.
I give this. Zubac
I like
trade.
It for both teams.
It could. Yeah, it could be.
A
it could very
a
well be
teams.
An A.
You have to understand.
I don't know if it's an A for
he
the Clippers.
About,
I think
it's an elite.
I think conceding for a rebuild, you should not get an A.
Look, no. It, wait.
Yes, you should.
You should.
That, it's
should.
A good move
yes,
for the rebuild.
Assets back.
I understand. I understand setting up for a rebuild, but that involves meaning that like your team kind of sucks and you messed up earlier.
I gave the Grizzlies an A for that trade that they made.
Bite the bullet.
For the Jaren Jackson?
Yes, for Jaren Jackson, I'm giving the Grizzlies an A, probably plus on that trade.
These are some great segues, guys. I was about to bring this up.
You got three picks for that. Regular, bro. I'm, well, I don't regular. Like. Well, I'm sorry. I don't like Jaren Jackson. I don't like Jaren Jackson.
He averages 5.8 rebounds.
Wait a minute. Thank you, Trump.
And he's 6'11".
Thank you, Trump. You're a four man, like and you never average at least 8 to 10 rebounds since being in the league.
That is true.
And with your defense, yeah, you're a decent shot blocker. You decent. Foul so bad, it makes no sense.
That is true.
Listen, do we like it for the Jazz? The Jazz get Joe
yes.
J.
Yes.
I give them a
I don't like
C,
it for
C
the
plus.
Jazz.
I give them a B plus.
I give them a C because, okay, what exactly are you really trying to build with him, Laurie, and Kessler? Like, what are you really
and
trying
Keontae,
to build?
They're trying to win
they're,
next
they're
year.
They're waiting on AJ DeBanster.
Win what, Trent?
They're trying to win what? Like, you're not going to compete next year, obviously.
Not in the West.
They're trying to make a good defensive, like, they're trying to make get big and defense and... I don't know, bro. They're not very good.
Him,
I don't know.
I thought Laurie was on his way out
if
since they got Triple J.
That's a top 10 team in the NBA next year.
What? The Jazz?
Hey, get them off here, bro.
That's not crazy.
That's not
maybe.
Crazy.
Top 10?
That's a top 10 team.
Hold on.
In the West.
That's a top 10 team.
Well,
in
that's
the
not
West.
That's not hard.
In the
no,
West.
He said in the NBA. He didn't say
no,
it.
No,
I
he said in the West. West.
In the West. Oh, in the West.
No, you said in the NBA.
Said
in
the
NBA.
No,
I meant the West.
Okay.
But
I mean.
They're going to be better than the Portland Trailblazers. They're going to be
no,
better
not.
Than.
No,
they're
not.
No, they're not.
Dame coming back. Dame coming back.
I don't care. Yes, you do. Yes, they are. They're going to be better than the Kings, the Pelicans.
Yes.
The Mavs.
Yes.
The Grizzlies.
Yes.
They're a top 10 team. They're going to be better than the Clippers next year.
Okay, 10.
Hey,
dude.
You're not real. So the Jazz not going to be better next year?
Hey.
All right, top 10 team in the West, I'll give you. But they're like the 9th or 10th.
Y'all may be the worst team in the West next year.
But let's just.
No, they're not going to be worse than Sacramento. Nah.
The Jazz? The Grizzlies?
They're not going to be worse than Sacramento.
I don't know.
Sacramento is a bad
team. Y'all not ready for Darren Peterson and the Kings, man.
Hey. Darren Peterson, what he's going to play? 25 minutes a night and then say, bro, I'm going to sit down.
All right, listen. We've been talking about trades, but let's talk about a couple of signings. So. Cam Thomas got waived by the Nets at the trade deadline.
What is this question?
It made sense. I can't
Does
lie.
Cam
it
Thomas
sense.
Keep Giannis in Milwaukee?
No,
no,
he doesn't.
No,
no.
Let
no.
me
no.
Does
no.
it?
No.
Does
no.
it?
No.
Wesley.
Does it?
No.
Wesley.
No.
Wesley.
He gets
no.
A
Wesley. This is, you didn't have to put this on the rundown. No.
Listen. Hold on. This is what
Giannis. That might have made Giannis want to
leave.
That made
I do research for the podcast, you know, producer. I make these. And so I'm looking. Thanks, JB. Yeah, sorry. No, I do. And I'm looking at these articles and I see that they signed Cam Thomas. I knew that. And I was like, whatever, you know, he's a scorer, but he's not going to like move the needle. But then it said that Giannis was like, had like felt better about the team now that they have signed Cam Thomas. Can we take things that like, why are you mad at me? I'm just posing a question.
But I'm saying,
you know
what?
He got waived.
Posing
got,
a
Wes.
What?
When have you ever seen a player get signed and he makes their superstar want to stay. He got waived for a reason.
Listen, bro.
He got waived from the Nets.
Giannis has always been unsatisfied with them trying to get him to, like, a winning team.
It's not my opinion. The Nets are bottom three in Eastern Conference.
Correct.
And your best player got waived.
Hold on.
Best player is not Cam Thomas.
Same thing. They don't have a best player.
Let Josh go.
Hey, I just got a quick question. So, Wes.
Yeah.
Giannis has clearly stated that the only way that he does... Giannis has said that he doesn't want to leave Milwaukee.
Correct.
But he only wants to stay if we're going to win a championship. So, do you think that adding Cam Thomas will legit give the Milwaukee Bucks a chance to win a ring?
Giannis has been adamant that he does not want to leave.
The question
Milwaukee.
Was on the rundown.
But if you're Giannis, they win a championship.
If you're Giannis, are you staying?
Championship with Cam Thomas.
If you're Giannis, are you staying?
If I was Giannis, I would have left years ago.
No. Giannis ain't going nowhere.
So why would you ask this question?
Because I...
You thought we were going to be like, yeah, Cam Thomas is a bucket. I like that move. You're wrong.
No.
Mike, remember when I used to fight the whole radio station about the Cam Thomas, Jordan Poole?
Oh, bro. Oh, my God.
And who's better?
Cam Thomas.
Okay, cool.
No, but they both suck.
Ask me in 2 years. Ask me in 2 years.
Listen, man.
Why, when Jordan Poole is on the Kings or something?
You know what? Yeah. Guys, bro. This has brought us to our favorite part of the podcast.
actually, you know what? Can I say one thing, though?
Go ahead.
Go ahead, man.
Look, it's just a quick shout-out. Because,
let's get started first.
We have a whole thing about that.
Just let him do a shout outs first.
Let him do a shout outs first.
Yeah, no, do the shout out before the shout out.
It is an important quick shout out, though.
Okay.
Hey, for college football, though, shout out to North Dakota State for finally making it. They are now part of the Mountain West.
That's all I gotta say.
Wes, you might as well let Lil go first.
What was that?
I would have never guessed.
What was that?
Can we like wrap this up?
Listen, West, man.
Our favorite part of the podcast, man. Shout outs. I want to shout out the playmakers because what was this whole episode? Shout out God first, of course. Shout out my family. Shout out the NFL football season. It's over and I miss you already. Go ahead, y'all.
First and foremost, got to give all glory to God. You know, without him, we wouldn't be able to do what we do every day, do what we love. Got to give a shout out to the Orlando Magic on a 2-game winning streak. And got to give a shout out to just basketball in general. You know, football season, you know, it's over, finally. Now we can just really just start watching basketball. More people need to start watching basketball. Get y'all takes better. All right, I'm done.
We need to get our takes better.
Shout out to God, man. All praise to him. That's really it, bro.
That Drake. Sound like Drake.
Shout out to God. Jason.
Yeah, bro. Appreciate you, Wes, for, you know, letting me pull up on the podcast, bro.
Of course, man. Of course.
Always a pleasure and a blessing to be here with you guys.
Appreciate you.
You know, feeding. All right, bro. Feeding the streets. Good ball knowledge. Shout out to me. You know, I called it weeks in advance that, you know, Kenneth Walker was going to have a huge playoff run and win Super Bowl MVP. So shout out to me for that. Yeah, bro. Shout out to John Morant, bro. Keep pushing, bro. We going to need you in Memphis. We'll be back next year. Yeah.
Will Ja be back next year?
No one wants him.
He'll be lighting the beam next year.
Dude, y'all are lighting.
Q, you got to stop.
Y'all worse than the Heat.
Man, Q, just get...
Shout out. Well, shout out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Shout out to my mother, father, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, friends. Shout out to the entire state of Mississippi, with the exception of Madison County. Shout out to Allen Fieldhouse. And shout out to the Sacramento Kings, man. Please lose against the Pelicans tonight. We need Darren Peterson.
Alrighty. Hey, first and foremost, shout out to God. I appreciate you for everything, Lord, because you have been the rock and my salvation. Shout out to my family. Shout out to the playmakers. Just shout out to everyone that listens to the show as well. Appreciate y'all for the support.
Shout out to God. Shout out to my family. Shout out to my city. You know, shout out to the Rattlers, man. Let's end this 4-game skid and let's get a win tonight.
Indeed.
Please. Halftime with the Playmakers is produced in the studios of WANM-FM 90.5 in the School of Journalism and Graphic Communication at Florida A&M University.